So, it's wonderful to be here with you today. As I said, my name is John, for those who don't know me, and I always love the opportunity to be here. Our lead pastor, Pastor Carl, is away in Zambia. He's launching some Bible schools there, actually. We have a picture they'll put up on the screen here of their recent graduation they did, where there was 137 students under that tarp roof graduating, that they are being launched into ministry, equipped and prepared to take the gospel to the places they pastor and they minister at. So it's incredible. Overall, he had over 250 graduates, and he's planting 30 new schools. So thank you so much for your participation with us here at Reach Out to accomplish this, to be able to take the gospel to the world. It's incredible that we get this opportunity, and we're so grateful to have your partnership and be alongside of you as we're doing this together. So thank you for that. 3 years ago, my oldest daughter entered into school for the very first time. It was a time full of emotion, full of, you know, all kinds of feelings we were going through as we sent her off to school for the very first time. And we attended an orientation for her preschool. And when we were there, I remember, you know, she's holding our hands as we're walking in, my wife and I, and we're walking in with her. And she's nervous, she's excited, she's feeling all the feelings. We get into the classroom, and she, you know, starts to play with some of the items, get to know some of the kids. She's talking to them and stuff. So we slowly kind of distance ourselves from her a little bit so she gets some experience without us hovering over her, right? You know, that's a good parent thing to do, give them some space. And you would notice she would do this. She'd be playing. She'd be having a good time. And then all of a sudden, she would realize we weren't right there next to her. And you'd see her kind of go into a little panic, like, where are they? And then she'd turn and catch our gaze again, and it's like, oh, okay, they're still right there, it's all good. And so a sense of peace came on her, a sense of calm, and then she'd go playing again, and this happened a few times. And I was thinking about this story and this encounter that we had those years ago. And last week, we talked about worship when the music starts, that it's all about having those moments with God where we're face-to-face with Him, where right there alongside of Him, and the distractions fade away, and we're just focused on Him. And those are powerful moments. Those are times God's called us to experience His presence in. But I'm going to say something, and don't freak out when I first say it, but the reality is we're not called to live in those experiences. We're always called to have His presence with us, because He's always with us. But the times where the distractions fade away and stuff, God actually calls us. He says those moments are to prepare you to go out and share His love with the world, to interact with our jobs and our families and the places we go. And He never forsakes us. It's like how we were at orientation. We're right there, but we're not face-to-face. We're not her sole focus at that point. Now, she still had an awareness of us, just as we're to have an awareness of God when we go out into the world, when we do what He's called us to do, when we're interacting with others. And this is what I want to talk about today, is this transition where I said last week it was when the music starts. This week, it's when the music stops. What does worship look like when the music stops and that moment fades? And now God's called us to go out into our world, into our families, into our workplaces, and be a light for Him. Because I want to tell you, worship does not stop when the music stops. Worship continues in how we live our lives, in how we love others, and in how we obey God's word. And we're going to dive into this today. I've got three main points that break this down to be very simple to apply to our lives. And if you'll apply these principles to your life, you will experience a worshipful life, which enables you to encounter God's presence in the routines, in the regular things that you do, which is powerful because now you're inviting Him in and you get to experience the miraculous in the mundane at times. And it's going to be an awesome thing. So I'm excited about walking through this with you today. The main verse that we're using as the backbone for this is Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. And it says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So we emphasized this strongly last week, and I'm talking briefly about it again today, is our bodies are a living sacrifice. That means how we live our lives, and it calls us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which means our actions matter. What we do, how we live, matters. And this is the first point for today, is we express worship by how we live. Last week, we looked at John chapter 4, where Jesus was interacting with the woman at the well, and he said, the Father seeks those who worship in spirit and in truth. That word truth, the main thrust of it, the main meaning of it, is authenticity. That our lives would be authentic, that they would demonstrate the relationship we have with God with the world. When I got married, I made a commitment to my wife to love her and no one else, to not cheat on her, not do anything like that. And I believe in that and I follow that, not because it's a written rule or something I said and spoke, but it's actually because I love her and I care about her and the damage it would do if I did that to her. And what would happen, and it would break trust, which we've spent so much time developing, growing our relationship in, and we've intentionally pursued that, and it would do harm to her. So I want to propose a shift in our thinking that when we follow God's principles and God's rules, the things in the Bible, that we're not just following it because it's a rule that we see or because we feel we should do it, but it's actually because we love God, because the reality is, God is grieved and he hates the things that hurt you. He hates seeing you hurt. He doesn't want to see you experiencing unnecessary pain. He doesn't want to see you hurting yourself or hurting others. So his heart for you is good and he loves you and he cares about you and he wants good things for you. But when we sin, when we do the wrong things, when we go against his word and what the Bible says, we're hurting him and ourselves. And God doesn't want that. And if we can shift our focus instead of saying, I'm just following this rule because it's in the Bible, but rather we're saying, I love God so much and I don't want to do anything to hurt that relationship. I don't want anything to come in between me and him. I don't want anything to separate this connection that we have. And I know sin separates because it's not good for me and it's not good for our relationship. And if we can shift our focus to take this perspective, you'll find it so much easier to avoid sin, to avoid the things that trip us up. Because if I was thinking all the time just, oh, I made a commitment, so I can't cheat on my wife, but instead I say, man, I love her so much, I would not want to do anything to harm her or hurt her. It's so much easier to walk in that then, because my heart is to care for her. It's focusing on what you can do rather than what you can't do. It's a powerful thing. In 1 Corinthians 10:31 B, it says this, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of our lives, or for the glory of God. And by applying this principle, this verse here, that in all that we do, that we do it for God, it now activates the reality that everything we do in life can be worship to God if we're doing it for him. That when we go to work, it can be an act of worship when we give it our best, when we do it as if we're doing it for God, to honor God, to be pleasing to him. Now it's an act of worship provided to him. When we love our families and take care of them and do what God's called us to do with them, it's an act of worship to God, that everything we do now reflects an attitude of worship to God because we're doing it intentionally, that we're not just doing it for you, but we're doing it for him. That removes the selfishness. It removes the things that block us from experiencing God's presence and worshiping him. In Colossians 3:23, the first part of it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you're working for the Lord. Not for earthly masters, but this is for God that we're doing it. That everything we do matters because we can do it to the glory of God. If you have a hobby and you do your best at it, that can be worship to God. Because he loves you. He wants you to enjoy life. He says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or have it to the full. He has good things for you. He wants you to have a full life, a fulfilling life. But the best way to experience that is in worship of him. That everything we do, we take intentional effort to say, this is for God, I'm doing this. And like that last song we sang, it talks about no sacrifice. It says, I love how it illuminates the concept and the tension point that we often experience where God calls us to do something and it feels like a major sacrifice in the moment because it is, because we have to give up something we want to exchange for what God wants for us. But in the end, you actually realize it's no sacrifice at all because the benefits far outweigh the cost when you do it for God. And that's how he is with us, that his benefits far outweigh any cost, any sacrifice you can make, where it ends up being like no sacrifice at all because he has a better way for you. In 1 Corinthians 5:37, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here." This word, the root word used for new creation here, is the same word that's used to explain a butterfly breaking out of a cocoon, that it's got new life. And this is something many of you here have experienced, that when you've accepted Jesus into your life, you said, "God, I want to give you my life and live for you now, and I believe I'm a sinner and I need saving from my sins." You've experienced a part of you that was dormant. It was dead within you, and your spirit man came to life, is what the scripture tells us. Because Jesus brought it to life. He brought you to life. And usually when that happens, just all of a sudden something's different in your attitude, in your perspective, how you carry yourself even, because you're made alive in him. And it's this amazing work that God does in our hearts and in our lives that now we realize we're not walking alone, but we're brought to life. And it's a powerful, powerful illustration of how we can live for God because we're made new in him. That now it's not forced, it's just simply live for him. That our lives represent that in our daily comings and goings. What we do is worship to God now. Now at this point of the service, I think it's a perfect time to ask if anybody here, you haven't been made alive yet. You haven't experienced that salvation experience and you would like to. I want to invite you to raise your hand even right now just so I can see it. I'm not going to embarrass you and call you up to the front or anything like that. But if you're here and you've never made that decision, you would like to, just raise your hand up so I can see it. We'll pray together. As I say, okay, I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else here? All right. So for that hand that we saw, let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. We're going to pray together. I invite you to repeat after me because the word says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And that's what we're going to do right here. So we're going to repeat together. Lord Jesus, I believe I am a sinner in need of saving. And I want to invite you to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you my life, and I want to walk with you from this day forward. I repent of my past, and I embrace the new that you have for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you for that. If you raise your hand, you said that for the first time today, amen. Yeah. Please come and see me after the service. I would love to talk to you more about that decision you made today. So thank you for that. All right. Point number two, we express worship by how we treat others. Of course he went there, right? We express our worship to God by how we treat others. And many of you have that one person that popped in mind, like, I don't love everybody but that person. Not them, it's too hard. But this is what Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35. It says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. There's another passage in Mark 12 where a Pharisee asked Jesus, what's the most important command? And Jesus goes through, says it's to love God the most and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is a reality that Jesus, in these statements, does a powerful thing. What he does is he takes your love for God and he says you demonstrate actually how connected you are to God and how well you love God by how well you treat others. It's a humbling thought, right? Because I'm sure if you're like me, we can think of a few times we weren't very loving to others. We can think of a time we held on to some grudges or got even with somebody when we had no business doing that. And Jesus makes it crystal clear. We demonstrate how connected we are to him by how well we love each other. This is how the world will know that we belong to him. is that we love one another well. We take care of each other. That even when we are completely justified in giving up on that person, we still choose to love them and care about them. It's a humbling reality of what Jesus demonstrates here. And it's great, too, that he wasn't all talk. Jesus went to the cross, died on the cross for you and for me, gave his life to say you're worth it even though you don't accept me yet, even though I know all the sinful things you've done, even though you don't deserve it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what the word says. While we were at our worst, opposed to God, he said, I'm going to love first. And he's called us to demonstrate that same love for one another as he demonstrated to us. So he strongly connects this idea of how connected we are to God is demonstrated by how we love one another. Now I'm going to say something here, and this is heavy, but I'm going to tell you the truth here. There is no room for selfishness in your relationship with God. There's no room for selfishness in your relationship with others. Now, this doesn't mean you neglect yourself. That's not what we're talking about here. But selfishness destroys trust. Selfishness destroys relationships. And the moment I make it all about me and what I can get out of this relationship, it's a problem. And you begin to destroy the relationship. And it's the same in our walk with God. If all of a sudden it's all consumed about me and what God can do for me and help me with, I'm missing it because it's much bigger than me. And I'm so blessed that we're part of a church body here that knows this and understands this and expresses it in how they love one another, that volunteers come every week to greet people at the door, to serve in hospitality, to play music, to be a part, to do the sound ministry, to do all that happens here in church, to make it possible to approach God, to connect with God, to have these moments that we get to share together, because we realize that when we pour out, we actually end up more full than when we started, because God pours into those who pour into others. This is in Proverbs. It says God refreshes those who refresh others. And if you're in a place where you're not activating this yet, you're not actively involved in a community, in this church body, I invite you to get involved. Fill out your Connect card. Put it in the box. Say, hey, maybe I don't even know what I want to do yet, but I want to be more connected. I want to experience that. We'll get you plugged in. Fill that out. Drop it in the box. We'll find you a spot you can serve in and be active to grow in your relationship with God, because when we love others, we're demonstrating our worship to God. And it's profoundly connected. Our third and final point for today is we express worship by how we obey him. God desires these moments of connection that I shared about last week. And if you missed last week, I encourage you to go check it out, because it'll help bring context to this message as well. But he desires those moments of connection, but then he also desires that we obey what he tells us in those moments. It's not enough that we just come to him and say, God, I love you so much. You're amazing. And he says, okay, great. I want you to go do this thing for this person. Say, well, I just want to stay here, Jesus. And I've been guilty of that. I know. There's times it's like, yeah, just a few more minutes, please. I just need this time to be refreshed. And he says, actually, you'll be more refreshed if you go and do what I say. That your healing, your refreshment, what I have for you is actually in the activity that I've called you to do. And it seems counterintuitive, counterproductive, right? It's like, well, if I give more, then I'll have less, actually. But in kingdom economics with God, the more you give, the more you will receive. The fuller you are when you pour out to others, because you're a conduit to flow through rather than a pitcher to just contain water. You're a conduit, so God's flow will continue to flow through you as long as you're not shutting it off. When we shut it off, we short-circuit God's ability to use us and refill us and replenish us, because we're not getting that fresh flow through us. That one wasn't even in my notes. You know, those are at the first service. It's like, oh, man, yeah. I believe God's saying something with that, though, that you need to be able to turn on the flow. And if you cap it, you shut it off and say, I'm not serving anymore, I'm not pouring out, I'm not loving other people, you short-circuit that flow flowing through you that refills you and refreshes you as well. So get involved. Do what God's called you to do, whatever that looks like. We have to be willing to obey him. Anybody here starting to feel the effects of aging a little bit? Okay. I got a bunch of laughs at this at the first service when I said, I'm in my 30s, and then everybody's like, oh, just wait. Yeah, but it's funny. I can't eat whatever I want whenever I want anymore without having some consequences, right? I can't lift everything the same that I used to without all of a sudden feeling a little more sore and things like that. It's like you feel things a little different as we start to mature. Now, I don't mean mature as in just get old, but mature as we grow. And it's the same in our relationship with God. We can't just go about our own business doing whatever we want whenever we want anymore. We have to do something that we don't like to hear, but it's called being disciplined now in our obedience to God, right? God's called us to grow up a little bit, to do some hard things. And often when he speaks to us and tells us to worship him with our lives, with his obedience, it feels a lot like work. And now when we step out in obedience to him and do the hard thing, do the work he's called us to, we end up worshiping him with our obedience, with our life. And this is challenging at times. But I want to remind you of that song that we sang earlier, that no sacrifice. That at first, yes, it is sacrificial to do, to step out in it. But in the end, the reward far outweighs the cost. Because in God, it's always for your benefit. It's always for the benefit of those around you. And it's for a purpose. When we worship him through obeying him, we express our worship to him. And he's worthy of our worship because of who he is, because of what he has done. And I want to encourage you today, as we go about our lives, as you leave this place, you've had this moment of connection with him, of being refreshed, of worship, just soaking in his presence. And now you're going to leave here in a few minutes and you go out into your mission field. You go out to where God's called you to obey him, where he's called you to love others and express that love to others as worship to him in how you live your life so that it is consistent and lined up with the authentic way that God's called you to, that your words match your lifestyle and your lifestyle matches your words. At this point, I want to invite the praise and worship team to come back up and we're going to prepare to close with this worship song. And then during this time, I want you to be asking God, what are you speaking to me today? How are you calling me to worship you? And I think these, as I said earlier, are three like easy to apply ways to worship God with our lives. It's how we live matters. We worship through how we love each other. And we worship by obeying him. So I want to trust and believe as they play this song, you're going to hear from God. You're going to connect with him. You're going to have a moment with God. And he's going to give you something to activate at least one of these areas. So if you're able to, I want to invite you to stand to your feet. If you want to come to the front, you're welcome to. You express worship how you feel comfortable doing it here. But I want to trust during this song, God's going to speak to you and show you what he's calling you to do today as you call out to him. I'll be back up at the end of the song to close this out. Your love is stronger than mine.
is no sacrifice. Here's my life.
Presence and have moments of connection with you, knowing that you're preparing the way for us. You're preparing us for what you've called us to do as well, Lord. So right now, I ask that you would supernaturally empower your people to continue to worship you with their lives, with how they love one another, and by obeying your words, that our lives would line up with who you have called us to be. We surrender to your ways today, God. I ask that you would bless each and every person here as they continue to worship you even when the music stops. That we would connect with you daily, knowing you are right there with us, waiting for us to make a move towards you, as your word promises that as we draw near to you, you will draw near to us as well. So I ask that you continue to draw near to your people this week, as they make the effort and make the time to draw near to you, to connect with you, to be empowered to worship you with their very lives. Bless them as they go from this place. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If anybody would like prayer for anything, please feel free to come on forward. I would love to pray with you. God bless you.